are listening to the Business Podcast, featuring today's most successful entrepreneurs and business leaders.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Please welcome.
Are you ready?
Hey, welcome to the Parents Culture Parents Network. I'm your host, Michael H. Scott. And here this evening, we're going to talk about the recruiting aspect of the process. What is it in the process? What is it that you need to know as a parent? What is it that you want to know as a parent? Should you be involved in the recruiting process? Do you think that that's something that you really and truly should be a part of? I would tell you yes. Parents, we must be the advocates for our children. We must be that frontline person for our children. In other words, I'm telling you, parents, you have to be your child's very first agent in the college recruiting process. So if you're interested, hey, let me know.
Hey, good evening, as we said earlier. And as always, we want to make sure that this is going to be a great evening for you. So I'm your host, M.H. Scott, here at the Parents Coach and Parents Network, and we're going to talk about some things this evening as we break down this college recruiting process and just getting your child ready and prepared for high school sports and college sports and just overall just thinking about the school year and some things that they can do differently in the school year. So if you want to join us this evening, you can always reach us at 917-889-2836. I'm going to say that number again, 917-889-2836. And we'll be here for the next hour, and hopefully we'll be able to share some things and say some things to you that will give you a different perspective or just have you thinking and looking at the whole college recruiting process and things that your child can do throughout the school year that will benefit him or her. Because this evening we're going to talk about tutoring. Can our children benefit from tutoring? And I'm very excited this evening because I have a guest that's lined up to come on with us, and hopefully she'll get through here shortly and just share some information with us in regards to tutoring. Now, I'm going to give you just a little something on our guest and where she will be calling in from. It's a young lady that I had the pleasure of meeting, I would say probably about 2 months ago. I was attending another event in reference to students and why students do various things in high school. And she was sitting on a panel. But the second that she said, she works with student athletes and work with students as far as tutoring them and helping them get through the process and get through the school year, I said, okay, so far the information that she has shared with us, I was impressed. Now, to take that and say that she works with students, that just took it to another level. So on that note, I said, okay, we got to work something out so that we can get all Academic Plus on the Parents Culture Parents Network one Sunday evening. So our guests will be calling in here shortly from All Academic Plus, which is a tutoring organization. currently based out of here in the Hampton Roads area, but I'm quite sure that she has no problem with reaching out and branching out to various cities. But, you know, when we had our little conversation and we talked about this tutoring and how tutoring can benefit our children, a whole lot of things came to mind. But I'm not going to get too deep into the conversation on tutoring as of yet, because there's some other things that I really and truly want to talk about. Before I even go into our conversation on tutoring. You know, each and every year, I sit down and I look at a number of young athletes that go through the recruiting process. But here's the kicker that gets me, and I'm not sure exactly how can we best address the elephant in the room. Because I'm starting to see too many of our athletes wait until the last minute before they start making moves towards even considering a school. If they're not a blue chip athlete and they've been in the game for a number of years and they've already started receiving recruiting correspondence, you know, the 9th and 10th grade, they don't understand how to put themselves into the game. And I put most of that responsibility on us as parents, because we see that our child has a dream, has an ambition, has the skills and ability to possibly, potentially play at that next level. Now, when I say the next level, do I necessarily mean high-caliber Division I level? No. When I say next level, I can simply be talking about playing at Division III NAIA school or starting out at a junior college. But it's the ability and skill and the desire to play is what we should really and truly focus on. Because when we miss that opportunity, now we're struggling. Now we're at the drawing board, or we're in the last hour, and far too often our children miss out on the opportunity to play at that next level. Or should I put it like I have been stating it here recently, reach their own personal level of success. That's all I'm talking about. Fulfilling their dreams. You know how many kids get excited year after year just to have the opportunity to play at the college level? Now, when I say the college level, again, folks, we have to remember, and I need you to stay focused on this piece. Let's not just think the college level is what we see on TV throughout the college season, whether or not we're talking about football or whether or not we're talking about basketball, baseball, softball, whatever. I'm talking about the whole entire college experience. Very rarely we may see a junior college on TV, not unless it is a local channel. Very rarely we may see a NAIA school on TV. Very rarely we may even see a Division II program on TV. Most of the time, the ones that are highlighted are your Division I programs, your big-name programs. And it's not even all Division I programs that we see on TV on a regular basis. It's only those programs where the networks believe that they can make a dollar from. And that's what it's all about in their mind's eye. How can they make that dollar? How can they use these commodities, as they so kindly put it, to generate the next dollar? Just make it real simple. How? Why? When? I see we have a caller that called in, and I know this isn't our guest that we're waiting on, but I'm going to bring this caller up and see if this caller has something that she wants to or he wants to add to our conversation that we started out with. Welcome to the Parents Go to Parents Network. Good evening. Area code 512. Great evening.
Hey there,
you.
How are you? Hey there, how you doing?
I'm good. How about yourself?
Can you hear me? I'm good.
Yes.
I'm good. As always, you have a great conversation going with a great topic.
Well, I try to get something that folks are going to be interested in talking about.
Yeah,
do you
I
have
totally
anything
agree with you, Mike, about, I mean, I totally agree with you about the preparing to get to the next level and things you have to do and how there's a tendency to not plan properly as far as what needs to occur, whether it's D1 or D2. And it does, so, I mean, I have to say that, what do you, I guess when I heard you say that, I started thinking to myself, what can we do differently? Is the lack of education on the person's part of not understanding the process? Or is it, wait, do you see if another offer comes? What do you think it is? I think it's a combination of both.
I think it's actually a combination of both. I think for one, the schools can do more with providing information. And not only the schools, but think about even when, you know, the children were playing AAU or some of these other programs and you have this requirement to get a NCAA briefing. You know, think about the level of detail that they put into that briefing. I'm thinking, okay, you're going to get a NCAA briefing. You're going to be put into a classroom or auditorium, you know, wherever facility you're at, and somebody's going to go through a PowerPoint presentation, slideshow, or something, and just lay out all the facts right there in front of you. There's been far too many times when I've seen, you know, somebody stand there with a couple pieces of paper they done printed off and read right through it real quick, and half the kids aren't paying attention to what's going on. So the information is not getting out there as far as the process, what needs to be done, when it needs to be done, and who needs to be involved in it when it's getting done. You know, that's why I often stress the point of what we do here at the Parents Coach of Parents Network as far as trying to get information out constant. And I know that you have done the same thing and you continue to do the same thing. But I still say I think the schools, and if the schools aren't going to do it, then do what they always manage to do. Create an organization that is willing to do it on a regular basis. I use that as an example from something I learned out of the Philadelphia school system some years ago, where they actually had someone other than the compliance people or the school counselors that was involved in educating the kids on the recruiting process. They actually had someone out of the superintendent's office that actually took that on. So I think that's a great tool that can be modified, enhanced, and brought into various school systems throughout the country.
I agree.
You still there?
I do think it's something that needs to be considered.
I think it is. I think it is. It's something that's much needed. Much needed. You know, I go back to, and I'm going to share this with my listening audience this evening. I've been secretly working on a book, and that book will probably be out. I think I'll be at the point where I want to just let it out sometime this year. I'm not going to put a timetable on when to put that pressure on my back, because I never know when something may come up, and I don't want to do a rush job. I just want to let it flow when it flows, and I write from there. But it'll be out sometime this year. But I was working on a chapter earlier today, and in this chapter I was talking about predatory recruiting tactics. And I think of situations where I'm hearing about middle school kids giving verbal commitments to coaches. Well, when you see something like that, or when you hear something like that, one thing that normally bothers me is you're talking about a seventh or eighth grader that's not scheduled to even be eligible to attend college until at least two or three years down the line, even if they graduate early. I've seen very few that will graduate from high school their freshman year and be able to go into college by what would have normally been their sophomore year. Very few. Slim to none. But when you have these verbal commitment situations, and these kids are given these verbal commitments, here's a few questions that I want you parents to think about. And then my guest that's, well, the caller that's on the line, give me some of your thoughts on this as well, if you don't mind. But here's some things that I want parents to think about. And anyone else that wants to chime in on the conversation this evening, option one, give us a call, 917-889-2836, 917-889-2836. Hit option one. Let me know that you're on the line. You want to join in on the conversation, and we can roll from there. But here's my point. You have a young man or a young lady, and the majority of the time, it's our young men. Because for whatever reason, I think when we're talking about sports and young ladies, I think they really and truly get it a whole lot faster than their male counterparts. But you have a young man that verbally commits to a school, and I'm going to call this the University of ABC. And the University of ABC has this coach that's a very prominent coach. His name is known throughout the sport. So he's been with this school for a couple of years, and your child is interested in, being in the program under this coach, because he thinks that this coach has something that he can really teach him and share, so on and so forth. Now, I've heard conversations from everything from, the kid, when he signs his or her letter of intent, or when they choose this particular school, they're placing focus on the school, not directly on the coach. Well, I can argue that point. And here's some of my thoughts to that particular point, because as we look at that, I'm a dad. I have sons and daughters. I'm not going to put my child in a program where he or she is not comfortable. I'm not going to put my child into a program where I don't directly look at the demeanor of the coach's character, his personality, look at his overall demeanor and say, this is the person I want to be that guiding light for my child, or be that person that's going to be able to influence my child over the next few years. I got to have some level of comfort when I put my child in that position, because that influence is a lifelong influence. And although you have worked hard and you have done what you had to do over the last 16, 17 years, 18 years, all of that can go not out the window, but the window can be open. And your child then has a different perspective on some of the things that you may have tried to instill in them. So I place a whole lot of focus on the coach, not just the institution, the coach. Because no matter what school you're talking about, and I'm not one that's easily hyped over the name of a school and what folks have built that school up to be, because here recently, you know, just this little scandal that showed up in the admission scandal proved to me that these prominent schools, or these schools with these big names, on all that. When you have schools such as Yale, UCLA, USC, Georgetown, that has questionable admissions tactics. So if that's the case, what does that tell me about their academics? And I know that may be just one or two people within the school, but, you know, sometimes that stuff filters throughout. So I say again, I'm one that places a whole lot of focus on having that coach as someone that I can rely on to continue to instill the values that I have worked so hard on instilling in my child, someone to continue that for the next few years, and me coming along reinforcing it over the, throughout the year that he's at that particular institution. Carla, you got anything that you want to add to that? Because I know that you've been through it on a number of occasions, and you have also had that firsthand experience at various levels.
On your point as far as scholarships being offered at early age, actually I had a situation where my daughter did get offered a scholarship in basketball to a big D1 college in eighth grade. And, you know, that always stood in my mind, said, oh my gosh, you know, is that really a great thing or not? I don't know. But, you know, we actually didn't accept that particular offer from that school. But what it reemphasized for me, as well as what you're saying, is how important the coaching is, because even at that age, as an eighth grader and being a female, we knew how important that coaching role was going to be in her life for 4 or 5 years of her life. So I agree with you that we really did consider the coach to be a strong factor in the overall decision on the school that we chose for her, because we wanted to make sure that whatever situation she was in for 4 or 5 years, that the person who influenced her had the strong morals and values and was family-oriented and, you know, this kind of fit the mold of what we thought she could handle for 4 or 5 years. So I feel like we made a good choice. And I do think parents really do need to consider the personality of their child and what they think their child can handle as far as a coach when they make those decisions, because that's very important. A lot of times when children do transfer out of programs, a lot of it has to do with there being a mismatch between the athlete and the coaching and the staff that wasn't known going into it. So I totally agree with you on that. That's very important.
You know, and something that you just mentioned a second ago that is very interesting to me, you know, when you're talking about an athlete receiving an offer in the 7th or 8th grade, middle school, junior high school days or stages or whatever, you know, and one thing that I talked about in my book is who's promising or saying that coach is even going to be around by the time that child reaches to their junior and senior year, or by the time that child graduates from high school. Who says that individual is still going to be around and be a part of that program? And that's where I simply say you have to beware, because you're committed to a program. You're ready to sign, seal, and deliver your child to that program. Then all of a sudden you turn around and that person isn't the person that you want to be a guide or a mentor over the next few years for your child. That person is not that guy or that person or that lady, whomever, you know. So that this is where I often question, you know, why do we even bother, or why do coaches even give the illusion of you becoming part of that institution at the middle school, level?
I think what happens is this: there's so much competition to get the top players that if a coach is pretty certain that player has the skills they're looking for, they want to show interest very early. Because we already know, if I saw this child now in eighth grade and they're in my state, and by the time they get to high school, there's going to be 5 other coaches that have seen them from out of state. So there's going to be more competition. So I need to show interest in state so that I might even have a chance to compete with those other programs. So if I start showing interest now, I'm making a commitment now, and building the confidence for that player with me as a coach early in the process, I really might have a chance by the time they get to high school and are really ready to make a decision. Because obviously, as you know, an eighth grade is not at the point where they can make a decision about what they want to do as far as college or their career. So even if you get an offer in eighth grade, I wouldn't recommend you accepting it, because you've got some growth and development to do, and where you are in eighth grade versus where you end up in 9th, 10th, and 11th grade, as far as what you feel is right for you, might change. So I think it's just the recruiting pressure. I think it's the pressure from recruiting that drives coaches to start making offers early. I wouldn't recommend that you accept it, actually, but some parents might feel differently about that, but I don't.
You know, and here's another part of the kicker. You know, you have a situation like that, and the coach is high on this kid, and even if he or she is still with the program another 10 more years, but what your child displayed back in the 7th and 8th grade hasn't changed once they became a senior. They had no development. So now is that coach still going to be excited to take your child? Or is he going to try to figure out a way to let them down? You know, so that's the type of... Go
that's
ahead.
A risk. That's totally the risk. Because I've seen it happen both ways. I saw a player commit to a college in 9th grade, let's just say, and the player did not continue to develop their game. And then by the time the player was like a junior, the coach is very reluctant to really just write the scholarships out. Actually, you know, like you said, they withdrew the scholarship. So it's kind of like one of those things where if you get in too early, you still got to work on your game because it's really about development, right? So you're right.
That's right.
That's a good point there.
That's right. You know, but far too often our kids get drawn into it and think that, you know, they hit the mini lotto because somebody said, oh, we love to have you in our program once you graduate. Okay, you're no longer at that school. You done got fired for NCAA violations, or you've had a raggedy season and they just done terminated you. Or, you know, come to find out now you want to play the game because that kid hasn't developed. You seen the kid in the eighth grade and he was already 6 feet two. And here he is now in his senior year, and he's only 6 feet three. But you thought he was going to be like, oh, 6'8", 6'9", almost 7 feet. But that just didn't work out for you. So now you're trying to figure out a way to back out of that commitment or not even offer the kid, and the kid is stuck. The kid is stuck. You know, what do we do at that point, parents? What do we do at that point? You know, do you, even if the coach came along and said, hey, we're gonna let him sign in his junior year because the coach still thinks that there's a possibility there. Then by the time mid-junior year rolls around or the end of the season for your child in their junior year, that coach is gone. And now he's looking at going to an institution that you got a new coaching staff coming in that knows absolutely nothing about your child. Have never seen him or her play, knows nothing about your child. What situation do you put yourself into? Or do you say, oh, well, it's a good academic school, go there anyway. That's a bad fit because the simple fact we know if the child's not comfortable with being there and really don't want to be there, that's not going to work out for you. That's not going to work out for you. So, you know, it's little things like that, oh my goodness. Oh, I got a text message here from my guest that was supposed to call in this evening and says, sorry, she's out of town on an emergency and she needs to reschedule. Well, I'm glad I had another conversation I wanted to talk about. So, so we're going to continue on this conversation. But, you know, when you talk about a situation like that and you have your child trying to work their way into playing for a particular coach, what do you do? What do you do? How do you support your child? First of all, parents, be leery of anybody that's offering your child a scholarship at their middle school years. Because they haven't even seen your child fully develop. They've seen what your child potentially has an upside, but that upside can peak by the time they get to the end of their freshman year. Or, like I said earlier, and like my caller was talking about a second ago, well, what happens if your child doesn't develop? Or what happens if that coaching staff is now gone? What happens if all of a sudden the coach sees another athlete that comes along that he's more interested in other than your child? Now what? Now what? Now what? That's the real question. That's the question. That's those million-dollar questions that we must always look at and consider when we're talking about our children trying to commit to various programs in their middle school years. But I've seen articles in magazines. I've seen articles in local newspapers. You know, I've seen stuff posted on social media sites talking about athletes that have, and the sad part about it, folks will be the first ones to say, "Oh yeah, so and so got a scholarship." Nah, so and so has the opportunity to make a verbal commitment. That's not necessarily saying that he or she has a scholarship. That's saying that they simply have a verbal commitment. Well, I see we got another caller that popped up here. Let me see if this caller wants to join in on our conversation this evening. Welcome, area code 757, first three numbers is 698. Welcome to the Parents Coach Parents Network. Good evening. First three numbers of 698. Did you have something you want to add to the conversation, caller?
What was the first three?
698, sir.
Oh, how you doing, Coach Mike? This is well, that's not important.
This is Stagecoach. Go ahead, I got you.
Yeah, Stagecoach, Wells Fargo. Just wanted to chime in and thank you for your unwavering dedication. You're one of the guys in the background, not necessarily in the forefront, watching and trying to guide parents in the right direction. I found out and what I'm learning is that when we offer our children to these different colleges, we have to be able to go in and negotiate our contracts with them. Case in point, because contracts, as we know it, are usually unilateral contracts, whereby the corporations or colleges state their agenda, and they never put their signature on anything. So, you know, the contract becomes one-sided, where they're creating the terms and conditions, and we never get a say-so. I say this because there's a young man who's attending Virginia Wesleyan this year, and his father only has to pay $1,500 or $3,000 for the whole year. And as you know, Virginia Wesleyan is very expensive. It's a Division III program, and they don't offer scholarships. So I coached him and told him, you know, that he needed to keep going back to the table to list his terms and conditions, i.e. food, part-time job, et cetera, et cetera, because you want it so that your child is taken care of and they you know, don't have to struggle while they're in school. So that's just a word that I want to leave with the parents. Don't be afraid to list your terms and conditions.
You are so true, to call it. You are so true. You know, and oftentimes parents miss out on that opportunity because they don't want to ruin their child's chances, so they don't speak up. And far too many times, they don't even know the right questions to ask. You know, I've said that here on the show several times. We don't know what we don't know, but too many times we think we know. And that explains itself. It talks about it just breaks it down and simplifies it to say, hey, we have no clue, but we think we know. Because we done heard so-and-so talk about this situation. We done heard that person talk about this situation. And worst part in all of this, and as I was talking about it earlier here in the show, I was talking about how I'm working on this chapter in my book called Predatory Recruiting Tactics. We have these other folks out here that have their own motives in trying to guide our children. You have folks that have their own interests because they're tied, they have tied themselves to outside entities, and which we all know has now become the apparel, the sports apparel companies, the sneaker companies. And now they have this tie, and now they're trying to leverage that in order to maximize the situation for themselves, which is not really in the best interest of our child athlete, and definitely not in the best interest of our family as a whole. So I go into a few of these things here in my book, but even more so when I'm talking about these things, I like to make sure that parents understand your involvement is a must. It's a must, it's a plus, and it makes for a better overall situation. And anything you want to chime in and add to the conversation there, Carla, you're more than welcome. I still got your microphones open. And
okay,
I see a couple more callers that have called in here. I'm waiting to see if they're going to hit option one to see if they want to add something to the conversation or not.
Okay, thanks for the opportunity. Appreciate it.
But my point here is simply, we have to look at this from a big picture. And when I talk about the recruiting process, one thing you have to really and truly understand, if we're talking about the recruiting process and you're talking about one of your children, or you're talking about two of your children, three of your children, or whatever, remember that one situation, will impact the entire family. That one situation impacts the entire family. Area code 512, I know you have something that you can add and share with us on how that impacts the entire family. Do you mind sharing? Because I know you was torn between trying to figure out if you're going here, going there, or you're going somewhere else, because you had three of them moving in three different directions, all of them just about at the same time.
You're right, I did. And I think because I had two in front of my younger one, that it really influenced her thought process about the game, about the sport, about the education aspect of it, about once you have one child that goes through that entire process and being recruited all the way to playing with D1 college to moving on to the next level of their career, you kind of know all the talk. You're not the kid on the block, so they can't just give you the song and dance and then just go for it. You kind of know which questions to ask. I think most parents, or some parents, don't understand how kids get recruited over year after year. But it's really part of the process because of the number of injuries that they have, because of academic issues, because of performance issues. There's just so many things that go into that equation that you should, in my opinion, go into it realistically knowing that your child is going to get recruited over. But you know that each year they stay there, they should develop their skills and try to add something to their game each year, so even if they get recruited over, they still get to play and they still develop their game. But you have to have a strategy to address all those things. You have to be aware of it, first of all, and not be naive about the entire process. So I think by having multiple kids go through that, it helps you to understand that.
And that is so true. That is so true. That's That's some valuable nuggets that we should all take to the bank. And just figuring out, because just simply one, you know, had you had just one of your children be that heavily involved in sports, and just that one had to go through the recruiting process, the decision that was made for that one impacts the entire family.
It does,
because you got to think about your youngest, the youngest siblings. You know, all of a sudden, the big brother or the big sister is no longer in the household, and you know, they don't get a chance to see them as often, especially if they go to some school that's far away, you know, other side of the country or whatever. You know, all these little things, and how does that child adjust? You know, we don't see these little things like that, and those things are not taken into consideration when, you know, we're thinking about the recruiting process and we're thinking about whether or not this is going to be a good fit, not only just for our child, but a good fit for our household overall. All right, you know, folks, I initially wanted to talk about tutoring, but my guest dropped a bombshell on me and said that she's had another situation and she's not going to be available, but we're still going to work hard towards getting her on, because I think she has some great information that she can share coming from her organization called All Academics Plus, where she places heavy focus on working with athletes, and because she understands, you know, the importance of helping them through the process, and not just tutoring them in the SAT and the ACT, but tutoring them overall in any subject, any core subject that's out there where they need to improve on. So I want her to come on, and we're going to still work towards getting her on real soon, before the school year is out, to make sure that we can get the information out. But those of you that did call in this evening, we truly appreciate you sharing your insight and your thoughts on, hey, how this thing works best for us. And the ones that called in and they just want to just listen in, there's nothing wrong with that as well. You know, we have no problem with that at all. If you want to call in, just listen in, hey, all well, fine and dandy. Anybody else that want to chime in on the conversation, you probably got about 10 more minutes left of the show. You can always reach out to us at 917-889-2836. I'll say that number again, 917-889-2836. Because this conversation is for you. This conversation is for you and what you can share with others that may be going through the same thing. Like one of our callers that chimed in, Stagecoach, he called in and told us what he shared with another parent. Just basically, hey, negotiating that contract, understanding that, hey, if you're going to add something to the pot, let's make sure we try to maximize what you add into the pot. If it's a meal plan that you add into the pot, if it's going to be some books that you're going to add in there, if it's going to be, you know, room and board, okay, all well, fine and dandy. Hey, let's try to maximize that thing, because if not, the money's out there. You know, when these schools talk about, well, I don't know if we have the fund, the money's out there. It just all depends on how they want to spend it. If they want to spend it on your child or if they want to spend it on somebody else. But the money is out there. The school that he mentioned doesn't have, I don't believe they have a football program, so their academic, athletic revenue probably isn't as big as their revenue isn't as big as a lot of schools, but a lot of these programs that have these football programs and a basketball program, and both programs are doing fairly well, the money is there. Money is there. The money is there. Money is there. Well, folks, as I prepare to wind down this evening, I'm going to hit my two callers that chimed in on the conversation with this one question. And I just read this at the Morgan State commencement. Did either of you hear about the billionaire that made this great statement at the Morgan State commencement events? Did anybody hear the statement that he made?
Actually, I thought it was at Morehouse when he said he was going to pay tuition for all the graduates of 2019.
Oh, was that Morehouse? I'm sorry.
Morehouse.
Okay. I'm getting my M's mixed up. Thanks for the correction. Thanks for the correction.
All right.
Billionaire.
No, I thought it was great. I heard about it.
That's awesome.
I was at my niece's commencement when they talked about it. It actually came on the news flash that he was going to pay all the tuition for the 2019 graduates of Morehouse.
Now, was your niece at Morehouse?
No, she was at Wake Forest, but it was just a great thing that he actually did, actually. So it's like, wow, that's wonderful. Yeah, it was Morehouse graduates. Student loans will be paid off by billionaire Smith. So everybody that graduated in that class of 2019.
Wow. Now, that's awesome. That's awesome. That's awesome that he decided to put his money where his mouth was and decide to pay off their student loans. And now they can start their career with a very clean slate, which that we know that doesn't happen all the time.
It does not, and that was a great, great, great thing that he did, actually. Given that.
Yeah. Well, folks, you know, I thank y'all for calling in this evening. And it definitely was a pleasure to have a chance to talk to you. And hold on a second. Somebody else was trying to chime in, but I don't think they got to. It was definitely a great pleasure to talk to you and for you to share your insight on, you know, what we were talking about this evening. And I initially started out just dropping a little something along this concern of mine that I had about athletes giving these verbal commitments in middle school. And then you turn around and the coach is no longer with that program, or you know, he's no longer interested in that child, or, you know, something else then came up. The child didn't make any major developments, so the child was 6'2" at in the eighth grade, and now the child is only 6'3" in his senior year, so he didn't make any major developments. So the coach is now holding back on whether or not he wants to even bring that child into his program. I had a caller just dropped in here. I want to see if this caller want to add anything to the conversation. We were talking about early commitments that these children are making at the age of middle school age, 7th and 8th grade. Let's see if this caller, area code 484. Welcome to the Parents Coach Parents Network.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
What's going on there, brother?
Hey, nothing much, man, nothing much. I guess the question is, should they make a commitment at a middle school age? I would say no. I mean, it's way too early because you don't know if the coaches are going to change. You don't know if the coaches are going to change. They're going to make a commitment at middle school to go to college? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. I hear about it all the time. I'm reading articles about it all the time. you know, these 7th and 8th grade, or 8th graders mainly, that's making these verbal commitments?
Yeah, I think that's way too early. I think they should wait till probably their senior year in high school, because the coaches, they just change way too much.
Definitely.
Yeah,
and
so,
you seem to be on the same page as all of our other callers that called in this evening.
Yeah.
And share their thoughts. Because, you know, you don't know if the coaching staff is still going to be there. You know, the child may not make any developments, and the coach may not decide to turn that offer into a letter of intent.
Right.
Or you got a situation where that coach doesn't turn out to be the type of person that you want to be around your child. You're going to find out that that coach got some real issues. So it's a whole lot of
yeah.
things.
Yeah. You're right about that. Wait till the last minute. You're right. 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 I'm sorry.
I think you and I could speak on that firsthand.
Yeah, most definitely. Yeah. Wait. I can elaborate, but you want to wait till the last minute because you don't know the coaches, how they're going to act, you know, who they're going to bring in, and they might stack the squad and bring in like 5-6 guards. So you got to almost wait until the last minute, to the 12th grade. I think.
Yeah, you can wait till the last minute or just as close as possible. You don't want to miss the opportunity, but at the same time, you want to make sure that that's going to be the right fit. That's going to be the right fit. And
it can make a difference. It can make a difference for your whole career.
Exactly. You know. And all that glitters is not gold.
Yeah.
All that glitters is not gold.
Right, yep. Right. Yeah. Definitely take your time. Go see a lot of games, and see how the coaches are acting, and ask a lot of questions, and you know, talk to a lot of people before you make a decision.
You know, that's a very strong point that you just brought up. Very strong point that you just brought up. Go to a lot of games, see how the coaches are acting. You know,
yeah.
I had an opportunity to see for myself a coach that many would say is a Hall of Famer, a legendary coach, had a pretty good winning record. And I watched his bench performance, how he interacted with his assistants and his players.
Okay.
I watched that, and it only took me one game. And just simply watching that told me that I couldn't say to my son, oh, I think this would be a good fit for you. I think this would be a good school for you. I think Coach so-and-so would really help you take your game to the next level. I could not honestly say that. Matter of fact, I was trying to get away from that program as fast as possible, because of the simple fact that his attitude, his personality, his character that night of that game, and this was like first point of the season, I think it was like opening night or something like that.
Mm.
But you already had this air about yourself that we would have some problems, man to man, had you addressed my child the way that you was addressing your assistant coach and your players.
Yeah.
So, hey, there's some many, many, many things for us to learn there, and I truly appreciate everybody calling in and giving us a little piece of that conversation and little thoughts on, you know, what they think about this overall recruiting process. We'll be back again next week here on the Parents Coach of Parents Network. 7:30 is our show time, is our go time, and we'll be here just to bring some insight and some information. You know, but we always like to say that and close out with my man, Mr. Keith Wright. Keith graduated University of Harvard, did this little piece for us. Keith, take us away.
student of the game. Had people front and talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know I would make it with the knowledge in my brain. And if I succeed with that, then B-Ball would do the same. I can't complain the situation that I'm in. Meeting different connects that turn out to be my friend. I know it'll turn out great when my 4 years come to an end. And when the ball starts bouncing on my diploma out the pen. But I'm hating then. Playing ball is just a small part. With this education, I have a great start. And if you work hard for the teachers, they might be showing love in the stands or in the bleachers. I'm only preaching, I'm just trying to spit knowledge and acknowledge opportunities at your disposal when you get to college. I use ball as a tool. Now every day I'm living and I'm making smart moves. That's how I do.